I really enjoyed their singing. Thank you so much. I don't know if you remember all what we talked this morning. This afternoon, we want to continue on our study of the few verses in Ephesians 5. When we look at the chapter, we see in verse 1, it says there, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." And then that is actually, I would say, the theme for this whole chapter. Be imitators of God. Live like God. That's what it means. And then it gives the explanation. In verse 2 it says, "Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you." And then it talks about that we should have a pure life and no filthiness, and that we should even not think about these things. And then the second thing, in order to imitate God, the first is walk in love, the second is walk as children of light, which is in verse 8. And then it explains, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. And then it goes on, because of this, because you're supposed to be imitators, because you're supposed to walk in love, because you're supposed to walk as children of light, therefore be careful how you walk. Verse 15, not as unwise men, but as wise. And we studied this morning that we should make the most of your time. If we should walk wise, we need to make the most of our time. We need to redeem our time. And the second thing is, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We should make the most of our time if we walk wisely, and we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Many Christians live half through their Christian life, and if you ask them, do you know what God wants from your life? They are saying, I'm not really sure. You know, Pastor Damien, he's sure, he's a pastor, and my friend who goes to a Bible study, she's sure, but I'm not sure what is God's will for my life. And it is sad. Some people go through 2/3 or their whole of their Christian life and they're not really sure what God wants from them. So this verse tells us that we should understand the will of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? How do we do this? Well, we can take our concordance and we can look, what does it say under the will of God? And it will list you different things. The will of God is that we keep the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. Then we can find it says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. This is the will of God. And actually, we can go through the whole Bible and we find so many things we're supposed to do. That's God's will, that we love one another, that we pick up our cross, that we go into all the world and make disciples, and that we be holy, that we would have faith to overcome, that we be humble like the Lord Jesus, that we're supposed to love our enemies, that we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. In fact, the whole Bible is the will of God. Now, that is a whole lot to keep in mind. and try to do this. Okay, now I know the will of God. Now, how do I do this? How do I live all this? Well, we can take a notebook and we can write down all these things. Live holy, have faith, love my enemy. And we go through the day and we check, okay, did this, did that. But we will very soon discover that 24 hours in a day is not enough to do all these things the Bible tells us what we're supposed to do. You know, that's actually what the Pharisees did. They studied all these books of Moses and they made their lists what they're supposed to do, and then they went all day long checking, have I done this, have I done that? Does that what God means for us to understand what the will of the Lord is? I think it's good to know what God wants us to do with all these different commandments and all the different rules he put in his word. But I think there is something much deeper. God wants us to understand what the will of the Lord is. And if we are not sure, I want you to know there is a verse in the Bible that will tell you exactly what it is God wants from you. God's number one will for my life. And we find that in Romans 8, verse 29. It says there, and God talks about us, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. God knew us before we were even born. From the beginning of the world, he knew us. And he decided that his purpose, his will for our life is to become conformed to the image of his Son. So, if I understand God's will for my life, it is that I become like Jesus. If I become like Jesus, then all these things that we listed in the beginning, being holy, being humble, love my enemy, love one another, have faith, all these things will become a natural byproduct of me being conformed into the image of Christ. Then it will be no more making myself, checking myself if I have done all these things. It will be the outcome of my life. So my focus need not to be, okay, I need to be doing this and doing that. My focus, my number one priority in life must be becoming like Jesus. Some time ago, I was sharing about this verse in a meeting, and afterwards, a lady came to me. She was crying. She was saying to me, you know, all my life I wanted to know what God wants from me, and today I found it. I'm supposed to become like Jesus. Sometimes we think God wants us to be a great person and to do so mighty things for him. Maybe be a missionary, be a pastor's wife, be a writer, or doing some great things in his kingdom. But his greatest calling, his number one purpose, his number one will for me is to become like Jesus. See, we have this thing here in America and maybe other places also. We want to know all, but God wants us to become. We can know about everything about the Bible. We can know all the books. We can know everything that has to do with church life and Christianity. Yet God wants us more than knowing. He wants us to become. And we start with looking at Jesus. So if I want to become like Jesus, that means everything that Jesus is, I'm supposed to become. If you think about his holiness, his love, his gentleness, that's God's picture. That's the picture he has about me in his heart. And he wants me to become like this. It's all about becoming. When we read this verse in Romans 8:29, it says there, to become conformed to the image of his son. When we look at this little word become, that means I'm not yet there. But I'm on my way. I am becoming like Jesus. That means every day his image need to increase in my life. My neighbor, my family, my church should see with every day a clearer and clearer picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. It is kind of like a painting. You know, Michelangelo painted this 16th chapel there in Rome and the ceiling and all, and he was laying on his back with his brush and he was making some sketching here and something there, and I'm sure the people that walked in and out, they were thinking, dear me, what is fellow doing? It looks like nothing. But when they come back after another week, oh, now I can see there is an arm and there is a head and that looks like the wing of an angel or something like that. See, the painting is becoming the end result. And that's what God wants to see in us. He looks at you and me, and we are becoming into the image of Christ. But how does that happen? Do we participate in it? What is our part in it? Well, first of all, we need to let go of what we were before. There are many things we hold on. We have to have a willingness to let go of our old life, what we were before, even the things we like. Because as long as we hold on, we resist the becoming of us into the image of Christ. And some people, after 20 years, they still hold on to the old in some areas of their life, and they never become like Jesus in that area. And then the second thing we need to do is, in order to become confirmed into the image of Jesus, is that we renew our mind by the Word of God. We will talk a little more about that later. And the third thing is, our participation need to be obedience. See, God has given us pastors and teachers, and he has given us his word. And he wants us to accept and receive instructions and live it. And then, as we are obedient and we are walking in these things, we are learning these things, we become more like Jesus. And the fourth thing is that we need to stay very close on the vine, which is the Lord Jesus, that his life flows through us. Then it will result in us becoming more and more like him. So becoming like Jesus must be the first goal in my Christian life. And it must become my highest priority. And it must become my daily pursuit. We have so many things that sidetrack us daily. Even in the church, we have 10,000 things we can pursue. Well, we can do some work in the church, we can sing, we can do so many things we can go after. But God wants us to go after becoming like Jesus, being transformed. Now, how does this transformation come about? It starts with our salvation. Unless you are born again, you cannot even start to become your life, to become like the life of Jesus. It will not work. You can try it, and you can try it some more, but it will not work. So if you are not saved, you need to take this first step. And then the second step is you need to renew your mind. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." If I want to be like Jesus, if his image should become clearer and clearer in me, then I need to start with my thoughts, with my mind. Because what I'm thinking here in my mind will determine my words and my actions. These thoughts and what I have in my mind are the seeds for what I'm doing, the way I live. You know, we talked about Osama bin Laden, you know, sitting in the cave. You know, his thoughts about us here in America turned into actions. We may not be like him, but our thoughts are also seeds. And what we think, what we dwell on, what we believe in, that we will become. So it is so important that our mind is renewed. Unless that happens, our transformation into the image of Christ will not work. You can put a Christian t-shirt on with a nice Bible verse, and you can cut your hair a certain way, and you can learn to talk a certain way, but unless your mind becomes renewed, you will not look like the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Philippians 2 verse 7 says, "Let this mind be in you yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, what mind did the Lord Jesus have? He was obedient until death to the will of God, to his Father. We need to have the mindset of Christ to be able to live like him. Now, maybe you grew up in a Christian home or you grew up in a non-Christian home. It doesn't matter. We have an old mindset. What we have lived before and what we were used before, it does not work anymore in our new life. It is like you got a new door in a house, a new lock. The old key will not open the house. You need a new key. You know, when I grew up in Germany and my parents trained me in all the different things a good German supposed to know, you know, and I knew how to act like a German, and I talked like one, and, you know, I mean, I cooked like one, done all these different things. I cleaned the house like a good German housewife has to do this. But then I came to a different country, India, and I married an Indian husband. And you know, living in India couldn't be more opposite than than what I lived in Germany before. The things my parents taught me about keeping house didn't work anymore there. And the way my mom taught me to cook didn't work anymore over there. I had to learn a whole new way of thinking and of living. That's the same picture. When we come to the Lord Jesus, you know, we need to get a new thinking about our time, how we use our time. We need to get a new thinking how we work, how we raise children, how we keep our marriage life, how we do anything. We have to renew every area of our mind by what God says. Otherwise, this transformation into the image of Christ will not work. You cannot expect to use your old ways, your old thinking, and expect biblical results. It will not work. Many people try that, you know, especially in their marriage. They say, well, we got a good relationship going the way we were. We will just continue like this. But it won't work. You will have a marriage, but not a Christian one. Unless you transform your mind with what God says about husband and wife relationship and about family life. And then when you renew your mind, your actions will become different. And then all of a sudden, the picture of the Lord Jesus and his bride will emerge in your marriage. It is not just for our personal life. God wants us to understand what the will of the Lord is, which is that we become into the image of Christ, that we are transformed, not just for our own benefit, but you know, we represent Christ in this world. We're supposed to build his kingdom. We present the gospel with our lives, not so much with our words, but with the way we live. You know, if there is no transformation in our life, we hinder God, we hinder his work. God chose to work through us, his children, as a channel. He wants to send God's word to this world through us. He wants to love through us. He wants to do his work through us. But if there is no transformation in us, then what comes out is a mixture where people cannot recognize it is God that is talking to me or is it something else? If we want to have a clear message from our life to this world, we need to allow God to transform us into the image of Christ. Our usefulness for God in our life here on earth depends on how much transformation we allow God to accomplish in us. Now, I want to quickly say a few things. How can we renew our mind? Well, we already said by the word of God. But one of the important things is that we cooperate with God when he works on us. You know, so many times when God points out to us, you need to change, or if a brother or sister walks up and they correct us and say, you need to change in this area, what do? We excuse our unchristlike behavior. Or we excuse our actions. Well, my family is like this. Or I always have a strong will in my life, and I'm always like this. And no, we need to cooperate with God and look at it as a special grace when he points out in our life what he wants to change. And then the second thing is we need to accept correction with humility. You know, we may not mind if Pastor Damien or Karen is correcting us, but we may mind if our husband is doing it, or even our children. Did ever any of your children say something to you? Mom, I thought we're supposed to be like this. It doesn't matter what source the correction comes from. We need to receive it as from the Lord, that he's pointing it out, even if it is through my child, if it comes through my husband, through my sister. See, if God loves me, he wants to transform my life into the image of Christ. And each time a correction comes from anywhere, it is God's love, God's hand. He notched someone to help me. And then, number three, which is very, very, very important, you need to fill your whole being continuously with the Word of God. See, when we look at the Word of God, it's the source of our renewal. It tells us God's will, how God loves, his principles, his promises, how we should live, everything we need in this life to walk in the way pleasing to God is in the Bible. So our source for renewal is God's word, and we need to fill our heart continuously with God's word. Please, please have a habit of reading and studying your Bible every day. You cannot expect a transformation will happen in your life if you don't do this. You will be surprised if I ask how many people read their Bible every day. Maybe here in Calvary Chapel, you are more exhorted than any other places, but many, many Christians are not in the Word of God every day. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, "Let the Word of God richly dwell within you." It doesn't say, "Let the Word of God sparingly dwell within you," or "Let the Word of God dwell within you when you are in trouble." No. See, the more the Word of God dwells in me, dwelling means it lives there, it made a home in my heart, the more God has to work with, the Holy Spirit can call up and remind me if the Word of God is in my heart. Joshua 1:8, God is talking to Joshua after Moses died. Joshua is supposed to lead the people of Israel into the promised land, and he exhorted him, "You take this book of the law and you read it." And he said to him, "But you shall meditate on it day and night." Think about it, day and night. Have you ever done that? Day and night meditating on God's word. What are you meditating when you are waiting for someone to pick you up? Or what are you thinking when you clean your house? What are you thinking when you're ironing your clothes? What are you meditating on? On the soap opera? On the things you want and can't afford? What do we meditate on? on the worries, on the money we would have, the bills in the house that going to the ceiling. We meditate on our children that aggravate us. God says that we need to meditate on His word day and night. And you know why? Because the more we meditate on it, the more it becomes part of our life, and the more transformation will happen. Jesus said in John 8:31 through 32, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, this is a very, very, very important verse. You know, we have so much bondage in our lives. Maybe not demonic bondage or something, but we have so many things that hold us captive, that prevent us from experience the joy of the Lord, the life of the Lord, the fullness of Christ. So many things from your past that are there, and God says, "Here, I show you a way to freedom from bondage in your life." Some of our minds are bound by the negative thoughts we have, by the negative experiences. People hurt us. We are discouraged. We are disappointed. All these things, God says, for you, the healing and the freedom comes if you abide in my word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you have things that you cannot get rid of in your life, in your mind, that go over and over and over, many of us have even unforgiveness and jealousy and all kinds of things, you will find freedom if you meditate on God's word day and night and abide in God's word, and it will lead you to freedom. Because God's word is a seed, and when it comes up, then it brings life to the things that are dead in you. And then, of course, you need to read and study and meditate, and you need really, really have a desire to learn and understand God's word. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, and He will. You know, you want to understand God's will? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand His word. And then don't make any compromises. You know, so many times we excuse ourselves from not obeying God's word. We say, well, that's part of my culture, that's part of my tradition, that's part of my background. Don't do that. Allow God's word to fill your heart. And then, of course, you need to watch very carefully what you permit your mind to dwell on. You know, to think a thought one time is different than to dwell with something in your mind over and over and over. You reinforce the things that you think. I remember when my father died, I went to Germany, and over there the custom is you go at least after someone dies, you go every day to the grave, you plant flowers on the grave, and you water it every day. And you know, I went with my mom, I stayed with my mom for 4 weeks. And every day we went at least twice to the cemetery and to look at this grave. And then mom would start talking about all the sad things. And in the end, each day she would be weeping. And then she talked about how dad got sick and how he suffered. And then she went on and how her brother, who died earlier, suffered. And then the neighbor this and the cousin that. And in the end, we both were weeping, you know, on the way home. And after a few days, I said, Mom, it's wrong to do that. We are reinforcing all these things. We think about all these negative things. Every day we are rehearsing this, and it becomes deeper and deeper into our life. See, we need to be so careful what we allow our mind to dwell on, because if there is anything we dwell on that is contrary to the word of God, it will hinder our transformation. Please remember this. If you dwell with your mind on something that's contrary to the word of God, it will seriously hinder your transformation in that area. Maybe it is unforgiveness you're struggling with, I don't know, or some hurt. You know, you genuinely was hurt by someone, and you dwell with your mind on this thing every day. It will hinder your transformation in that area into the likeness of Christ. You know, if you think and think the bitterness, you cannot get rid of that bitterness. Yet the Lord Jesus wants to transform you into his likeness, that you even can love your enemy. So you cannot afford to dwell with your mind on things that are contrary to the word of God. When I read this first part of chapter 5, I'm thinking what God actually says here. He desires so much that we become holy as he is holy. There is a song, I think it's a chorus that we sing in our churches. It's kind of says, faithfulness is what I need. Holiness is what I need. And when I read this chapter, I think it's God's yearning for holiness in our life, that we become holy like he is holy. He even says in his word, pursue holiness, because if we pursue it, we will become more into the image of Christ. And we walk as children of light. Understanding what the will of the Lord is will bring about our desire for transformation. The will of the Lord is that I become like Jesus, that people can see the image of Jesus so very clear in me. My message that I give with my life will be so clear to them. There will be no confusion. I do not know your life at all. I am not sure how far you have come with your transformation. Maybe you have started or you got quite a ways. Maybe you are stuck somewhere. God wants to bring you fully into the image of Christ with every day. If there is something you hold on to from your past, or from even something you experienced in the present, let go of it. Allow God to complete the transformation he wants to do into his image, and Christ will be seen by others around you. Sometimes we wish we can witness to others. The greatest witness we can tell others is by saying nothing and let our life speak. If they can see Jesus in us, it is 1,000 times a more powerful sermon than when we tell them all the great things we know from the Bible. God's desire for us is that we become like Jesus, and let that be our number one goal in our life, our number one pursuit. Understanding what the will of the Lord is to understand that He wants me to become like Jesus. And then all these other things will automatically be lived through me, and the world will see Jesus lifted up. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us such an example to walk in this world. And Lord, we long to become like you. And we know that it is God's will that we become like you, that we are transformed into your image. Lord, I pray that you give us the grace to walk with you and to keep your word in our hearts and to follow you. Jesus, we need this transformation. We want to become holy like you are. We want to become humble like you are. We want to become forgiving like you are. Lord, we cannot do it unless that transformation takes place in our life. Lord, we pray that we allow this to happen so you can use us. As long as we walk in this world, that we are a clear picture of Jesus and of your kingdom. Lord, I want to thank you for calling us to such a high calling and to make it possible for us that we carry this image of you in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.